Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My dad asked me over the summer to make like a little Trump commercial.
Oh, wow.
And Trump like tweeted it at one point. And it was just like a quick stop motion of Trump putting like Hillary in handcuffs and like throwing her in jail and being like, don't vote for crooked Hillary.
I cannot believe you just shared that. And I'm so happy you did. It's in the spirit of FY Pod, which is about radical candor. We've all made our mistakes in life. Hey, everybody. I'm Tim Miller.
I'm Cameron Caskey, and this week we are joined by one of my very best friends in this world, Mr. Anthony Scaramucci Jr. Mooch Man, how you doing?
What's up, guys? Thank you guys for having me. Cameron, yes, you are my best friend ever. Tim, you are my new best friend, so it's nice to meet you.
We're going to see if that holds. I'm very excited to meet you. I love your energy right now. I'm the way I'm picturing this, you're like, also, like, you have a three screen going where you're talking to us in one screen and the other two screens. You're playing a video game in one, and then you have maybe some hentai on the other one.
Constantly got hentai somewhere.
Is that what's happening? Or do you have a triple screen right now?
I'm sad to disappoint you, but I only got one screen. As you can see, there actually is a screen over there.
Oh, yeah.
And a screen over there. So
this is real. This is real.
What's right behind you, Mooch?
All right, so this is like this is actually a custom painting I commissioned, so it's one of one.
Wow.
It's from the show Naruto. It's my favorite frame, still image from the show. It's the main villain, or one of the main villains.
Is that a Japanese program?
Yeah, it's when we first reveal him and he says his plan is to conquer the world.
Wait, I'm sorry, Mooch, you might have a misunderstanding. When I said what's right behind you, I meant the anime girlfriend pillow.
Yeah, this is called a wafu pillow. That's what they call it. If you wanted to purchase one yourself,
is there a hole in it?
Keeps you warm at night. And I'm actually sitting on my pullout couch in my office. This pillow is actually for my guests. I put it in the bed.
All right. I already like you better than your dad. I'm excited to meet you. I think folks are probably familiar with Anthony Scaramucci Sr., the Mooch, who worked for Donald Trump for 12 days. But before we like go deep on your padre, like, tell us what your life is. So you just kind of a nepo baby, just kind of hangs out and plays video games, or do you have aspirations of your own?
I mean, that would be great, but I'm a filmmaker, so I never went to school for it or anything, but as a kid I did Lego stop motions. So I used to have a YouTube channel, Lego Dude 17, and I used to literally all night and day used to make Lego stop motions and learned everything about filmmaking from that. And if you're a kid out there that wants to learn filmmaking, go make a stop motion, because you learn every element of filmmaking. You are the actors, you are the cameraman, you have to have consistent lighting, you could do the voice acting, do the sound design, everything, and the production design. And from there, in high school, I started doing like rap music videos and just shooting them myself. And doing
white rapping.
Yeah, a little. I wasn't rapping. I was filming the rappers. Okay. You know,
No, Mooch was like, Mooch was.
I can rap exactly. If you want.
Mooch was directing these really big music videos for very, very popular rappers. So much in such an interesting way. I would text him, "What are you doing today?" And he would just be on set of this huge video with a rapper that even I had heard of. And if I've heard of a rapper, that means they're really popular.
Like what? Like ASAP Rocky, Roddy Ricch.
Drake, like, did something
Drake, for Lil Wayne, Lil Weezy.
Yeah, did something for Justin Bieber once, and then Juice WRLD when he was around, and like Trippie Redd, and
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So a bunch like a lot of younger
rappers. That is legit.
Yeah.
And let's be clear.
Like,
these aren't
Lil
like
OG, Lil Durk, fucking on and on and on and on. I've done like over 100 music videos in LA. And I kind of
these aren't
like
just them. Like someone pointing a camera at somebody while they're walking down the street and like mouthing the lyrics. These are huge productions with a ton of people on set, extras, PAs. I mean, a very crazy thing to manage. And yeah. Having been on one of those sets, I was very shocked that Mooch, one of my friends who I personally know to be a huge fucking moron, was able to manage this like movie.
Yeah. No, we like to have a duality of some intelligence mixed with some foolishness. But you know, you know my dad, and it's just kind of funny, it's something I like bring up as a joke because like my sister went to Brown University and my brother went to Stanford, and I dropped out of Sacred Heart University after my freshman year and went and smoked some weed with some rappers. So definitely drove my dad nuts.
It's know? A real Royal Tenenbaum type situation. Like kind of an Italian Tenenbaum family.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to learn more about the rap world because this is kind of an area where Democrats are struggling. You know, I'm pretty sure like every person that you movied would have voted for Barack Obama, and then like 30% of them ended up voting for Trump. So I'm pretty concerned about that trajectory. So I want to get your take on that world. But first, we do have to talk about your dad. Do you want to give your thoughts on his time in the Trump administration first, or do you want to hear mine? Would you like to hear mine first?
Let's hear yours first. Let's
okay. Me and your dad, you said your dad gave me best wishes before we got on, which I appreciate. And I sent back to him. He must have mentioned we did get in a little tiff during the Jeb campaign. How old were you during the Jeb campaign? Were you around?
Yes. That was 2018, right? So I was a freshman in college.
Okay, so you're smoking weed at Sacred Heart. Your dad, you probably
actually
don't remember
wasn't.
This.
I played Division I lacrosse and they drug tested me, so I didn't.
Okay, you probably don't remember this then, or probably couldn't access it. But your father at the time had like a public access television economics show.
Yes.
That aired at like 3 a.m. on Sunday nights on select PBS networks across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was called.
Yes.
The Mooch Report or something. Anywho,
I know what you're talking about. But yes.
Jeb, things are going real bad for Jeb. Your dad had supported us, which we appreciated, been a donor. I think we're like the fourth candidate he supported, actually. But I was happy he landed on us after all the other ones dropped out that he went for first. And you know, he's a donor and he's calling me. And he's like, hey, man, I got the show. And like, Jeb should come on. Like, we'll just, it'll help puff him up. It's towards the end of the campaign. We're losing. We're getting our ass kicked. We're in last place. Donald Trump is like smearing our face and shit and making fun of Jeb's wife and stuff. So, you know, it's a tough time for me as the PR flack. And I was like, all right, sure. And so we happen to be in New York. You know, we do a couple real television shows that have audiences. And then we do your dad's public access show at the end, like late at night. And we get on there and your dad is like, Jeb, bro, why are you getting your ass kicked? Like, why are you losing? The polls suck. I'm going to read you the latest poll. You got 3%. You got 4%. Why'd you fuck up that interview with Megyn Kelly? And the interview ends. And I was like, Anthony, what in the fuck was that? I was like, you're not Tim Russert. Like, this was a favor. This is like a weekend economic show. You were supposed to be like, Jeb, why are you so smart? This was like a puff up interview. And Jeb's mad at me. It was for making him do it. It's late at night. And Anthony did not appreciate my feedback. Your dad did not. So we had kind of a heated tiff in the lobby, after which I didn't respond to his phone calls for a little while. And, you know, now we're both middle level podcast hosts who are friendly again. So it's fine. We, you know, in the interim, I did feel like his choice to go be Donald Trump's communications director was maybe not the route I would have gone. So I think that was kind of a second tiff we had, over that. So I don't know. Everybody that lands in the right place, I want to give grace to. We've landed in the right place. I mean, and he did it pretty fast. You know, he was only in there, 2 minutes or so.
Yeah.
What were the vibes like for you when he was just kind of hanging out, talking about how great of a football thrower Donald Trump was? We should have pulled up the video of that when he was like, man, Trump could throw a 50-yard. I've never seen anybody do it. It's like Peyton Manning out there. He had a golden arm. That was good. We should have pulled up some of those.
So actually, correction to what I said earlier, it was 2016. So I was a junior in high school. I actually remember like Vine was still a thing, and I was like watching vines of like memes of like Jeb Bush and like looking at him with my dad. I just have a memory of that. But for me, I kind of like always had like, I love my dad. I keep up with all his shenanigans, but I kind of like enjoyed separating myself mentally as far away as possible from the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, let me just, make my little videos and not worry about this, because the politics to me is like a little, especially at that age. I'm not even old enough to vote at that age, so I was like, it just seemed like a little scary to like be fully involved in, you know. So I was
it'd definitely be kind of like if your mom was a porn star, I guess, like you wouldn't really be watching the videos probably.
Exactly,
that part of your life.
But I don't know, I just, of course, you got to support your dad no matter, you know. And definitely thought the whole Trump thing was ridiculous, and I definitely knew Trump was going to win, just because like seeing the younger people at that time like shifting towards him for some reason, you know what I mean? Especially like the college kids and the young voters. I just felt like he had some sort of like gravitational pull to him, and I feel like he's also been like campaigning for a long time. You could look at like the roast of Donald Trump from like, I forget what year it was, but at the end of the roast of Donald Trump, like 10 years before he campaigned, he's like, I'm going to run for president, you know? And
can I just say, it must've been so weird for you, Mooch. I mean, it must've been really weird having a parent who's at the White House. That sounds weird, but you know what else must've been weird was being in our group chat. While I was texting everybody about how Kamala Harris was going to win, and everybody else in the group chat was like, is Cam serious? Like, does he seriously think she's going to win? And I'm like sending you guys articles and shit. Like, no, here's how she's actually ahead. For those of you who didn't listen to the episode where I mentioned this, Mooch and I are in a group chat called Infinity Gang, very lovingly titled. It's us, a modern Orthodox Jewish young man who played Batman on television for 5 years, a tall French string bean named Jonah who makes the girls go crazy, and then two handsome blonde South African French British guys who – one of whom was on Team 10, which was Jake Paul's content house, and was living with Jake Paul for a little bit. And that's just our little ragtag group. And in Infinity Gang, I was definitely explaining pretty enthusiastically how Kamala Harris was going to win. But this kind of serves as a segue into one of my favorite stories with me and Mooch, was sort of the event that brought Infinity Gang together. And we've been together for like 7 years now as a brotherhood. We see each other everywhere. We spend a lot of time together.
Do you guys have tattoos together, or like, is it a blood
thing? Mooch has an Infinity tattoo.
Yeah, nice.
Well, that's my production company, is Infinity Studios.
It's called Infinity Studios, by the way, because Mooch would be writing his name down in his notebook in high school, and the O next to each other looked like an infinity sign, and that became our collective entire personality. But anyway, Infinity Gang is a great group of young men. We take care of each other. We, you know, watch movies together. We say I love you at the end of phone calls, like real men who aren't fucking pussies. And,
we've
really stood the test of time. But Infinity Gang really came together at Anthony Scaramucci Sr.'s conference in Las Vegas, SALT, run by Skybridge, the money fund or whatever the fuck it's called. And SALT was where, you know, Mooch, myself,
our friends. First time ever going to SALT, too, is that time.
That was your first time?
Yeah, because it would always be, I don't know, I played lacrosse growing up, and it would always be during like my lacrosse shit, so I couldn't go.
Well, it was interesting. It was like the speaker list of politicians and business leaders and different people. And then I was one of the speakers that year. And I was on a panel with Mr. Charlie Kirk, who is now on some sort of like military board that Trump appointed him to. Mm. But Charlie, in the earlier days of his grift, ended up on a panel with me that Mooch was at. Mark Cuban was in the first row, weirdly not looking at his phone. Somehow Mark Cuban, the
Was it just you and Charlie? Was it a debate segment?
It was a debate. It was a debate. Yeah. Cameron kicked his ass and we all cheered and went nuts for him. And there's one thing Cameron did, which I thought was interesting in that debate, where the guy was ranting at him or whatever. And Cameron said, 1 second, put his finger up, and he just chugged his water bottle and like crushed it. And we all cheered for him. It was a good, moment.
It's kind of a classic case of winning the battle and losing the war, I guess, with your debate.
Yeah, it was nice. Charlie. It was a nice afternoon. With Charlie, I made a point to at least twice call him handsome. I thought that would be really funny because, you know, gentlemen like him get a little uncomfortable when you do something that's a little gay like that.
Yeah.
So we were talking about social media and the algorithm. And I said something along the lines of, I mean, look, algorithms determine what gets put in front of people. Mind you, this is in 2019 when conversations about the algorithm were not as in everybody's face. So, sure. You know, a lot of the people who talk about the algorithm today didn't even really know what was going on with that at the time. But I was saying the algorithm will, you know, determine what goes in front of you based on what you're looking at. And handsome guys like you, Charlie, that content is going to be pushed because people want to see guys like you. And he just got weird after that. He didn't seem to like it. His face got a little red.
That's kind of a cursed moment because you ended up being right in a pretty bad way.
Well, I didn't.
People did want to see his face and his little gums.
People did want to see his face. Not, I don't think because he was handsome. I don't know.
He has a strange gum to tooth ratio, Charlie Kirk. Have you ever really taken a close look?
He has a strange face to head ratio. His face is so much smaller than his head.
He's much taller than you think. He has a very strange gum to tooth ratio.
But to bring it back, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say, just to bring it back to like that time period of 2016, and I was like about to graduate high school, and I just remember when Trump won, and like the craziness. I mean, my dad wasn't really like around much. My parents are also fucking divorced, and I lived with my mom. But I just remember like paparazzis were showing up at my mom's house, which isn't even my dad's house, and just outside my house taking pictures of me and my friends like playing basketball or whatever, and like we had to like shoo them away.
Do you think that was cool, then, or did you not like that?
I thought it was a little annoying. I mean, like, definitely didn't think it was cool because like my mom was like pissed about it, you know what I mean? So I was just trying to like help her out, you know, calm her down.
Was your mom anti-Trump?
Yeah, super anti-Trump. Mm. Thought it was stupid and ridiculous. Yeah,
point to mom. Trump.
Yeah. and then like I just remember before Trump won, my dad invited me to go to DC with him for like a day or two or whatever. This happened a few times where I would spend like a day with my dad. We'd go to fly to DC or whatever, and he'd had a bunch of meetings or go on the news, and I would just kind of hang around. And I just had this one really funny memory. I was like, wow, this really shows like what DC is like. You know, I thought LA was bad. Just these people, I forget who they were, but they were like talking to my dad about how amazing he is and how they wish him so well and how smart he is. And I was kind of hanging like a little further back, and my dad walked away. We're at some like dinner ball thing, and then they didn't know I was his son. And as soon as he walked away, like, I fucking hate that guy. I can't wait to see him get eaten up alive by this place. Blah, 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 blah. That stuff is like so funny because I'm just like, oh.
I also hate that about DC, and it's something I like about your dad. It's something you and your dad and I have in common, which is why we weren't built for that, which is that's not like my style. You know, evidenced by our fight.
We like to stab in the front, you know, front stabbers, you know?
Evidenced by our fight at the Wayne's World Studios. You know, I wasn't like one for shit talking behind his back or anyone's back. So did you get to go to the White House during that like whirlwind 2 weeks?
Yes. So I went to his inauguration, and me and my brother were actually supposed to like stay a night in the White House, and then they like canceled it on us and like put us in like a hotel. It was so crazy. There was like riots in the street. I actually ended up getting like punched in the face just from like wearing a suit. Yeah. All right. So it's a long story. I went to like, I'm the only one in my family. I went to like boarding school for some reason. It was because my parents were getting a divorce when I was younger, and they sent me.
I like how you keep doing a physical thing with your hands every time you say divorce.
By the way, that's the same reason I never had a bar mitzvah was my parents got divorced the year that I was supposed to have my bar mitzvah. So me taking Hebrew classes and everything, I was able to be like, you know what, guys, here's what we're going to do. You guys go ahead and get divorced, and I'm going to go ahead and not do bar mitzvah classes.
In like a weird way, like seeing like when you see like two politicians, like let's say Kamala Harris and Trump, or like Joe Biden and Trump, like shaking hands or hanging out, it's like kind of like seeing your divorced parents hanging out in like a weird way. Yeah. You know? It's like, but anyways.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy time. I forget where I was.
You're getting punched. We want to hear about how you got punched.
Yes. So me and my friend Corbin that I went to boarding school with, he went to a boarding school called Episcopal Academy that's like near D.C. And we just got like some sushi, you know, and we both were wearing suits because we went to some fucking whatever event, Trump bullshit. And we're walking. Can I curse on you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
And
we're walking down the street. And we're going to go meet up with his friends near like the the Washington Monument. And we're like, oh, let's go down, cut down the street. There's like all this commotion going on. There's a fucking car on fire. People are rioting. People are crazy. And because we're wearing suits, we immediately became targets.
Yeah.
And before you know it, we're getting fucking assaulted. And I got punched in the face by a dude wearing a gas mask. And
Antifa? You got attacked by Antifa?
And I remember on the police, like the riot police, like as because my glasses flew off my face and I was like trying to get my glasses and like trying to gather myself. I was like, I just got hit.
Fucking my friend fell off from Scooby-Doo ass motherfucker.
And I just remember as we were leaving the street, the riot team was like closing in on the street with the shields and everything. And we were just like had so much adrenaline. It was crazy. But yeah,
I'm surprised. Did you tell your dad not to use the assault? I'm surprised you didn't use the assault as like a.
Oh, my dad thought I was stupid. He was just like, why would you ever go outside?
Classic.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, like,
classic.
But I also remember watching that night, because we were just walking around D.C. It was honestly really eye-opening to, like, just remember that night watching rioters take a trash can, throw it through the wall, like, throw it through the window of a McDonald's, and proceed to go into the McDonald's and just beat the shit out of everyone, like, in the McDonald's. And I was just like, what is going on?
Did you get to go to the White House then, or you got canceled? Yes. You didn't get to sleep there.
I took a dump in the White House, which I was proud of. And
was that like in Sean Spicer's private bathroom?
On my way back from the bathroom, because we had like a lunch in the White House. On my way back from the bathroom, I was like snooping around. I was like, oh, let me see what's in this door. And I got in trouble. They're like, can't do that. And then, yeah.
Was it like Kellyanne Conway's toilet? Is there a specific person you took a dump on their toilet? We could shout out. We could just make it up if not.
Yeah, I went to Conway's office and took a dump right
little
there.
Powder room.
Yeah. I used his bidet. No,
Did I ever tell you that? I don't think I've talked about this.
Water was really high pressure. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Did I ever tell you about my meeting with Ivanka?
I don't believe you have.
I had a meeting in the Trump White House with Ivanka Trump where I was like trying to get her to offer citizenship or to advocate for the citizenship for the family of one of the kids who was murdered at my high school. Kid gets shot dead in my high school. A young man who I'm not going to say his name just to not drag him into my Ivanka Trump story. But I got the opportunity to meet with Ivanka and I was like, you know what? If anybody in this family is going to see the humanity in this story. I don't know. It seems like it would be Ivanka. So I did the meeting. I went and I met with her.
Tiffany, probably. but she's not around.
Right. No power. Besides Tiffany, ended up talking to Ivanka for a little bit, discussed that and some other things. And she ended up telling me, oh, that's a conversation you should go have with Mercedes Schlapp. And then I had the meeting with Mercedes Schlapp, and she goes, no, you don't understand. The immigrants, we're getting them out. And I was like, oh my God, these people can't even send their fuck. Are you saying that because they're immigrants, like them sending their kid to the high school, the kid getting shot, like, oh, it was an immigrant, they shouldn't have come here in the first place. It was a really weird meeting with Mercedes Schlapp. And, you know, Ivanka, I don't think Ivanka sent me to Mercy to get the job done. I think she sent me there so she didn't have to tell me that we weren't going to get the job done.
Did you get to do a deuce in Mercy Schlapp's bathroom?
Or? I don't remember if I used the restroom, but I remember.
Mercy told me in a green room after Trump. So in the period after Trump won, between when he went in the White House during that period where I was going the other way, Mercy Schlapp saw me in a green room and asked me how I was going to recover my personal brand as a dead serious question. Like, how are you planning on fixing your personal brand now that you are on the wrong side of the new president? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not trying to fix my personal brand. And I do feel like I've kind of won the long game on that, since Mercy Schlapp's personal brand now is pretty much completely consumed with the fact that she's married to a man that sexually assaults other young men, you know?
I was about to ask.
That's kind of not great for her personal brand, that she is like standing by her man who is a sexual predator and while he's hiding his homosexuality. Not really a cool story for Pride Month.
What Matt Schlapp was up to, because I felt like I had heard something about Matt Schlapp, but honestly, that type of story about someone like Matt Schlapp almost seems so obvious that I kind of forget it, right? Like, yeah.
There was a crazy Matt Schlapp story recently where he was like drunk. This is, in case Cash Patel's listening, allegedly, this was based on a police report of some kind. I don't have firsthand knowledge of this, but apparently, according to this report, he was like in a bar in rural Northern Virginia, kind of Northern Virginia exurbs, at like playing grab ass with random dudes in the bar area of a restaurant, but it wasn't even a gay bar. And it was like not really the type of place where you'd think there'd be a lot of gays. And then they started getting mad at him, and then he like drunkenly drove home, and the police had to go chase him down. Things aren't going great in the Schlapp household. It's not the best of times. They haven't. Mooch Sr. has definitely done a much better pivot on his personal brand than Mercy Schlapp, I would say. You know, he gets to hang out with Caddy K. They've got a podcast now. Do you hang out with Caddy K at all? Tony?
No.
You haven't had any FaceTime with Caddy K?
Yes, the British girl, right?
Yeah, Caddy K.
Yeah, she's super nice. I've met her before, yes.
That's a great name.
Yeah, who is that?
She's
a big movie fan.
Mooch's Cam, I mean.
She's a big movie fan, so I talked to her about movies. But I've only spoken to her a few times.
Actually, I think Mooch might be Caddy K's Cam.
Yeah.
Regardless, I'll call one of them, figure out who's the Cam, and have them join the Cam union that me and Ed Elson from Prof G are starting for the labor rights of plucky young podcast sidekicks who are riding the other person's clout. We'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom of it.
I'm getting some benefits. Mooch, what? So is there anything else stand out from that period? Like, how's your dad like feeling? Has he seen, like, is everybody happier now? You know, your mom's going to be happier now. No, like everybody's going to feel more fulfilled, right? Like she doesn't have paparazzi out there.
Yeah.
He had a spinoff podcast with another woman, I remember, and Caddy K, and now you're making money on crypto. Everybody kind of happy now?
So one thing at the time that I kind of left out, just because, you know, it was my involvement, I guess, you know, but why not? We'll talk about it. My dad asked me over the summer of that camp to make like a little Trump like commercial of some kind.
Oh, wow.
And
can't believe you're going to let us fly by this.
And I made a Lego stop motion, right?
Does that still exist?
I could send it to you, but it's not on the internet anymore. Right. Trump like tweeted it at one point. And it was just like a quick stop motion of like Trump putting like Hillary in handcuffs and like throwing her in jail and being like, don't vote for crooked Hillary. And it was like a Lego. I took the Captain America Lego body and put like a Trump head on it. And anyways, I just fucking did it because I was asked to do it and they paid me. And I'm just a fucking junior in high school. And I was like, sure.
A junior in high school?
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. And so then it got tweeted out and I start getting all these death threats and all these crazy yeah. messages. And I get videos of this guy sending me videos of him burning a doll with my face on it and all this stuff. So that was fun.
How did they know it was you?
Because my dad was like, my son did this.
I cannot believe you just shared that, and I'm so happy you did. It's in the spirit of FY Pod, which is about radical yeah. candor. We've all made our mistakes in life.
We can
you do have to do 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers for that.
Wait, Sebastian.
And maybe write a letter to Hillary, like a handwritten yeah. letter that's like, I apologize about the handcuffs. The
I'll Legos. Send the Lego. I still have the Legos. I'll send her Lego.
Seb, if you could throw up the video, we'll get it for you. I would love for the audience.
We're going to bring it back out. I don't know yeah. if we can do that, actually. I don't want to do poor Mooch Jr. is going to start getting death threats again. Oh, yeah. Mooch.
Just because
you know, you got
Lego
a career
animation.
You're doing. I think it's better to let people's imagination run wild.
Yeah, no, I didn't want no affiliation with
we
Trump
can let
whatsoever.
It, we can let it disappear to history.
Industry, you know?
That is something.
But yeah, those are my memories of the time. And I just remember, like, definitely thinking, like, I mean, my dad's a good dad. He, you know, I love him to death. He's definitely a really smart, well-read person. But he was definitely on some sort of Kool-Aid, Trump Kool-Aid, and a lot of people were. Like, I definitely remember at the time, like, wow, like, this is definitely a movement of some kind, and it definitely felt like a fact. Like, me and my brother had a bet where we shook hands. Me and my brother do all these bets all the time and stuff, and we shook hands. He thought Hillary was going to win. I thought Trump was going to win, and he still never paid me, because it was a ridiculous bet. It was like, I bet you like $1 billion that Trump will win. And we shook hands on it and whatever. So I always bring it up for every once in a while randomly, like, you owe me $1 billion. But I definitely just remember the movement of Trump, and he definitely, like, he took over that, like, that kind of, like, I guess, like, white person college frat sort of energy, you know, yeah. like completely took it over. And growing up in the Long Island and on the East Coast, that's pretty much most of that area is that. So definitely,
yeah, I know it's kind of the base, yeah. like the ethnic Northeastern whites were really yeah. a key base. What so that takes us to what I wanted to ask you about also. So mm-hmm. like, what's your, you know, I mean, you're like not in this shit the way me and Cam are, or your dad is, like, minute by minute. Like, what's your sense for, like, why that is still working? Like, I kind of understood mm-hmm. the appeal. In 2016, I didn't ever work for me. Like, I thought he was ridiculous, clown, and asshole. But, like, I got it, kind of. It's harder for me to get it now. And yet he's gaining steam, particularly with, like, dudes. You know? So good, like, dudes that, like, look like you, kind of.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like I think it's because the Democrats don't really have a good opposing force. You know what I mean? Like, they, for example, like, old-timey Americans, you know, they don't want a woman president. Like, I've heard some, like, people make some crazy comments, like some, like, old, like, one of my friend's grandmas, like, making a comment about, like, never, like, have a woman president. Like, you know, that's why I vote for Trump. And it's just, like, it's kind of eye-opening. And I kind of feel
somebody
like
somebody emotionally stable in there, yeah, you know, and yeah. that's somebody that's ever going to get on their period and have a temper yeah. tantrum.
That's what, I don't know, I just think that, so like, Trump kind of like opens the eyes up to like how people actually are thinking in this country, you know, and it's a little scary. I think
what do you think about like the rap culture bros though? Like the old yeah. ladies, whatever I get. Yeah. Like, I mean, Lil Weezy was for Trump. This yeah. time. Like both of my Louisiana rappers were for
well,
Trump.
Well, because he like pardoned Kodak Black and like pardoned ASAP Rocky and yeah. like is like trying to get the black vote in any way he can and is and you know, he also has this kind of like super like, I mean, because the rap industry is very heterosexual. You know what I mean? Like there's a whole whole conspiracy that like Drake is gay and you know and he will never come out and there's, you know, if you're there's not really many gay rappers that are successful, you know? And so Trump kind of represents that sort of energy as well. And I feel like that has something to do with it. And also Trump is
the pardons and being not gay. You think are the key elements here? What about
a little
sneakers?
Bit? And also,
what about
also
the gold sneakers.
I also think that Trump, if you look like you look up Trump 1980s, he's like with hot girls and fucking wads of cash. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's got that energy to him, you know, and like that's what they like. You know, they like that sort of like fuck it, we ball, like sort of boss energy, like, and Trump's also like puts in the effort to with the rappers. Like I remember like Kodak Black, one of my friends that does videos for him, and Trump like would FaceTime Kodak Black like when and like talk to Kodak Black on the phone, like
about what?
Like I just know that happened one time. My friend was telling me about it when he was with Kodak Black. Like Trump called him and like checked in on him. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just like shit.
That phone call. I would listen to that phone call like a fucking podcast.
But you know, there's no like women rappers voting for Trump. You know what I mean?
Missy, like, you know,
yeah.
Dochi, you don't think Dochi's going is pulling the trigger, the lever for Trump? Probably not.
You know what I mean? Because it's just,
yeah, it's a dude thing. So what is the answer then? So do the Democrats just need like a fuck it, we ball person that also, you know, is worried about climate change and
if like doesn't want Obama, to be a fascist? I just think that they need someone that's, you know, like I just think like Joe Biden just came across as like a joke, you know, and then Kamala just came in last minute and she, you know, she didn't have, like I said earlier, Trump has been campaigning for like 10 years and she only had a few months to campaign. And she thought like, oh, let me get like Meg Thee Stallion to twerk on my stage and that will help me. Like, just looks stupid. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like for like doing some sort of physical action, like Trump partying rappers and stuff definitely is a more monumental movement to get that vote than paying Meg Thee Stallion to twerk. You know what I mean?
Biden not legalizing weed for me is like a historic, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know.
What about your dad? Maybe Mooch should run for president in 2028. Has he thought about that? Democratic presidential candidate?
It's definitely, might be a little short. Definitely been tossed around for years.
Has it definitely been tossed around? Yeah. Like where? Like at the dinner table? Or?
Yeah, just at the dinner table. It was like a, you know, kind of like a joking manner, but also semi-serious. And
he has a fuck it, we ball energy. You could see him in the back of a limo with like champagne and like a titty girl and some like $100 bills and be like,
I remember like,
and you could have your rap music that you did at one of the videos playing. I could see that.
Yeah,
the shortness is kind of a problem, I guess.
We'll make a Trump diss track music video, you know, get like Lil Wayne to feature on it. I'm just kidding.
Anthony Scaramucci balling out Trippie Red.
I do think my dad's dream would be to like run for president or something. I think that's something that he's very passionate about and he researches a lot. He definitely has like
I don't think it's crazy.
In politics.
Why? I think probably the time working for Trump is probably what kills him on this front, because I think it's going to be hard to get the Democratic primary voter to vote for somebody that worked for Donald Trump. But like the Democrats just don't really, like, it's hard to think about anybody that fits the bill. Like Wes Moore is kind of the closest, I guess, to like having any kind of like,
I do think swag. That the whole Trump thing like was like really good for my dad, though. Like him getting fired and like ejected, that shit. Sure. I definitely noticed it like was a big shift in like his way of living and his.
Honestly, Tim, I disagree.
A big shift in his way. Hold on. Just real quick. I'm going to get your disagreement, but a big shift in his way of living. How?
Just like even him as like a dad, he's like more present, first of all. I don't know. And he's just like, I don't know. I just noticed that he, to me, he comes across like he moves slower in a good way. You know what I mean? Yeah. I personally think my dad's fucking a genius and really smart. And I love listening to him talk about politics and stuff. And sometimes I think to myself, like we went to London a few months ago and he did a couple like, he did like a show that was, I forget who the other guy was on the show, but it was about the assassination of JFK. I'm sure you could look it up. And I just remember hearing my dad talk, on, and then shifted to the policies of the Ukrainian war somehow and whatever, which is like a discussion. And I just feel like he's a good debater. He definitely could have a good shot at at being the president if he actually took it seriously and went for it, you know?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
I think that he used to work for Trump and emerged a hater thing. I think that actually services him. The same way that, you know, the Bulwarkian, we were part of the GOP, and now that's not our party anymore. That's not our values. Same way that that's got such an appeal, because yeah. You see people like that, and you're like, this is what, you know, the Republicans that I was raised to know, this is what they would do. You know, the real conservatives, you'd think that the first thing they would have done when they saw someone like Donald Trump was leave the party. And then, you know, being able to say, this was the group of people I used to hang out with, and now I can't stand by it, I'm against it, and here's why, has such an appeal. And Scaramucci being like, yeah, let me tell you how fucked the Trump White House is. I was in it, and I saw some shit, and it was awful. So I'm going to come, and I'm going to do something good. I think there's a there. I think there's a there.
Yeah,
and
but
you know
he's
what,
down
Tim,
to the final two. we're seeing this. We're brainstorming. We're ideating. It's Mooch 2028. He's picking up. He's dominating the debate stage like Trump did in 2016 because all the other people are squares. We got to put him on like a soapbox or something to get some hype. But we're going to imagine we fixed that problem. And he's crushing the debate stage. He's owning all the Dems. He's got some momentum. We're going into South Carolina. And then whoever is the normal Dem that is leading in the polls as he's catching them, like drops the ad where it's like Mooch is like, Trump's got the biggest balls I've ever seen. Trump could run a 4-minute mile. He's in such good shape. I've never seen a man like that. I think that that's going to hurt him. I think that that ad is going to. I think that ad might hurt him in the stretch. Definitely. But I don't know. I mean, we can. We're war gaming.
We should make a Lego ad of Lego Scaramucci. Putting Lego Trump in handcuffs.
In jail. Yeah. Lego Scaramucci putting Lego Trump in handcuffs.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And we'll get Lego to license it to us this time.
Okay. Yeah, maybe so Lego should get some back.
Anti-Trump Lego ad.
I guess we're suing Trump over that. Okay, that's good. All right, what else did I want to talk to you about? Crypto. Me and Cam are pretty crypto skeptical. Your dad's big crypto. What about you? Are you crypto? Do you got some Bitcoin?
I mean, I was in the NFT world as like an artist a lot, and
market tanked.
Yeah, it definitely did.
I had a couple of NFTs. I had a Jamal Murray. What was it called? Top Shot. I had a Jamal Murray Top Shot. Lost all my money on that.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely lost money in the crypto world more than I've made it myself. But my dad seemed to have made a lot. But in the NFT world, separate from just investing in like Coinbase and crypto, whatever the fuck, I was able to, as an artist, make a collection and make some money, which was nice. But I did a collection with Algorand, which they helped like give me an upfront payment to do all the art and stuff, which was great. I find the crypto world to definitely be a little bit like gambling, you know, and something my dad said when Trump won recently, he was like, well, at least it's good for crypto, but it hasn't really been that way. I feel like it's kind of been going down. My investments aren't like huge in crypto. I have like a little bit in Bitcoin, like a little bit in XRP and Solana. And
do you think it's real?
Yeah, I think it's definitely real. And I definitely think, you know, there's also like the crypto world has a huge scammer energy. It's like, you know, it's all internet based. So like there's no real, you could easily say it's not real, you know? Yeah. But it's definitely real. I mean, I know people that are millionaires off crypto, you know, and they're young, and it's definitely like an appealing thing because of that. It has a similar appeal that like a slot machine has, you know what I mean? Like fucking quick money, quick fix kind of thing.
I mean, but speaking of slot machines, I was just in Vegas.
Let's just say crypto is like what funds all these like underground and like terrorist organizations and stuff. I don't know if you saw on the fucking news recently, but I actually know of through friends, these kids that got busted in New York recently. They're running a whole crypto scam. They're living in like a $65,000 a month, like brownstone in fucking Soho. And apparently, I've never been to the house, but one of my friends went to the house because they would have a lot of after parties and parties and stuff for younger kids going out in New York. And apparently if you looked in the sink in their house, there was just like 20 MacBooks and water filled to the top, because what they were doing is they were getting into people's crypto accounts, stealing money, destroying the evidence. And then they would go to like the club. Like there's countless stories you could look up where these people are able to get into some big investor's wallet, steal $50 million worth of crypto. And then they go out and go on a fucking spending spree until they get caught, and they last like a month or two. But because it's versus if you were to go into someone's bank account and steal the money, they would get caught in like a day or two, just because it's so hard to fucking follow the blockchain, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just interesting.
Cam, what were you saying?
I was going to say, speaking of slot machines, I was in Las Vegas for a podcast interview on Tuesday. I fucking hate Las Vegas. I've been there a bunch of times. If there's ever been a city with a famous mass shooting in it, I've probably been there a couple times. Vegas is one of them. And I just, it's such a terrible city. I hate it. But there was a crypto conference where there were 30,000 people in attendance. I was walking onto the airplane to go to Vegas, and I saw at least 10 people wearing either hats or zip ups with some sort of crypto logo on them. And I was like, oh my God, if God is going to strike down a plane to send the people on it to hell, it's going to be the one that I just walked on.
Crypto people are definitely weird. Like the Twitter fucking communities and like they all have like a little like a delusionalness to them, in my opinion. I don't know. Just some sort of, like you're saying, like, is it real? Is it not? They all are definitely going all in on it. And Trump is trying to lead that train of, I hate to say it, but like crypto idiots, you know what I mean? And I don't know, something Trump said that I thought was interesting, that he said he was going to pay off the nation's debt with Bitcoin.
You know, oh yeah, that's going to happen.
Which is definitely interesting, an interesting statement. You know?
Well, I mean, it's interesting the same way that he bankrupted a casino. So anybody that bankrupted a casino surely could bankrupt our country with Bitcoin. He's gonna.
I love that Apprentice movie, by the way, the Sebastian Stan movie. It's fucking incredible, in my opinion. I don't know if you have.
Did you see it, Tim? The Trump movie.
I refuse to see it. I can't. So here's the thing. I got to do this all day, and so like the idea of sitting down and watching a movie about Donald Trump makes me want to kill myself. So
it's so good, you know, dude.
If I'm gonna watch something, I want to go totally off looks. Like I'm watching Your Friends and Neighbors right now, which is really great.
Well, you should watch my film.
What's your film?
Well, that's a great segue into. Yeah. The real thing that we need to talk about with the time we've got left, which is Mooch's film. It will be premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival at some – wait, I need to put this on my calendar, actually. What day is it again?
June 14th at 8:30 at the Village East Angelica. It's my debut film. It's my first film.
Where's my invite? I didn't get an invite.
It's right here. It's coming to you right now.
Okay.
Are you going to be in New York around
June 14th? Like I always need excuses to come to New York, baby.
All right, say less. I got an extra ticket for you with your name on it.
All right. I want to hear about the movie before I decide if I want to come or not.
Well, I'll send you the trailer. You check it out. It's called Money Talks. It takes place in 1981 New York, and it's about the life of a $100 bill as it gets passed from one character to the next. And it's a people's perspective.
Gets snorted.
Yeah, a little bit of sex, money, power, you know? And it's like a people's perspective about capitalism and America at its extreme. You know, Reagan just got elected. Takes the first day of the film is January 20th, so we get a little bit of Reagan's inauguration in there, and yeah, it's like a kind of inspired by like the Scorsese grit of like the films of that era. You know, like Taxi Driver.
It's a full feature.
It's a short film, but it's 33 minutes and 33 seconds on the dot. And got into the Tribeca Film Festival, which is exciting. And everybody said that it wouldn't because it was too long, but it still did. So
I was one of those people, by the way. I was one of those people who said that it wouldn't because it was too long. And I'm happy to eat my words right now.
Are any of Cam's exes in the movie?
Yes, specifically casted all of them, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
But there is a character in the movie named after – so there's a character in the movie who is a, as we say, not in 1981, but here in 2025, a sex worker. Probably would have been called something different in 81. But there's a character who does, you know, sell her body as a product for money.
All right, we have Ethan Kuthoski from Shameless in it. We got Francesca Scorsese – Martin Scorsese's daughter in it. We got David Mazouz, an Infinity Gang member, the Batman from Gotham in it. I got a couple rappers who did some little cameos in it as well. I got 24K Golden, I don't know if you know him. I got this other rapper who signed to ASAP Rocky. His name's Swoosh God. Another dude named Fredro Starr. Natalie Shinnick, who was in The Brutalist. She's the one that plays.
I fell asleep during The Brutalist, but I bet she was good.
I
love this. The Scorsese Scaramucci family unite.
Yeah,
Italy is so back.
It's a Game of Thrones situation.
What was it called again?
It's called Money Talks.
Money Talks. I'm into it, Mooch. I'm excited to see it, and I can't believe the fact that I did not plan this. We did not plan this. It just happened to work out because you're just a preternaturally good content creator. We're going to Boomer Mailbag next. Boomer Mailbag, here's a question. Hans, a boomer in Maine. I have a Gen Z kid, and I'm really struck by their generation's romanticization of the 1980s. I swear to God, we did not plan this. Make this up. It just worked out. Can you speak to that? I think it's a longing for seriousness, how great it was to grow up in a world run by serious people. I'm not sure if that's right, Hans, but that's a good theory. Gen Z has grown up in a world run by geezers and clowns. So that's Hans's Boomer and Maine's theory. Tony, what is yours? Why are you obsessed with the 80s?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Yeah. Well, to play off what he said, I feel like back then when, like, for example, like Ronald Reagan spoke, people listened. You know what I mean? And like you said, took it seriously, especially like parents. You know what I mean? Made their kids take it seriously. And also, I think that the technology and the screens, for example, have a big play in it because, you know, TVs and VHS. VHS came out in 1976. But back then, like, the only place, like, the only screen was, like, a movie theater, you know? So, for example, like, if you were to watch porn, you would have to go to the movie theater to watch porn. And nowadays, I could watch porn on, like you said, four screens at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anytime, anywhere.
You might be watching it right now.
I might be watching it right there on my second screen. You have no idea. But I think that has something to do with the seriousness because everyone's in this sort of like quick fix mentality. Everyone likes to scroll. Everyone likes to swipe. Like, I don't know.
And the tangible nature of it, of the world.
like, for example, I mean, I don't know, this has nothing to do with the 80s, but just in like 2019 alone, because just seeing the shift of like the release of TikTok for me in the music video world. So 2018, 2019, there was a lot more music videos that would get hundreds of millions of views. TikTok comes out 2019. There was like literally like two videos in 2019 that got 100 million views. The views just went down like more than half after TikTok came out, because now everyone wants the 15-second bullshit. They can't fucking watch the 3-minute video. You know, it's just too much for them. You know, and that's it's just like, and like movies as well. Like, movies are fucking going downhill because, like I said, people like that sort of like quick stimulation. The brain chemistry is being altered, you know, and the quick fixes of the 80s was like, let me go outside, let me go get a hooker, let me go do some cocaine, let me go to the movie theater, I'll watch The Shining, and maybe I'll fucking get a $15 blowjob and watch Deep Throat after, you know, where nowadays the quick fix is I'm in my room in my home, I'm gonna fucking swipe on OnlyFans and TikTok and fucking, you know. Maybe
I love that you went immediately to porn theaters as something that you romanticize about the 80s. I like that. Cam, do you have something that you romanticize about the 80s or any insights for Hans?
Movies for me.
Two things to what Mooch was saying. One of them is what he just said, which was movies. I think that a lot of very beloved films that have stood the test of time take place in the 1980s and make the 1980s look fucking awesome. I also think that the 1980s was a time, and Ronald Reagan was sort of the president for this, where there was enough access to media that we were able to make things look so much better than they actually were without people then looking further into certain things. And now there's too much access to media, and people are getting fed things directly by big tech companies that want to shape the narrative the way they see fit. So I could see people romanticizing the 80s just because it was a time when you could watch TV, you could watch movies, you could, you know, do a lot of things that are considered modern age things, but it was before a lot of those things went too far. You know, in the 80s, this is all about movies, but it's because we're talking to Mooch. In the 80s, great movies were coming out all the time. Awesome movies, you can go see them. And now it's just this AI generated slop. Most of it's something you watch at home. I don't know if you.
Well, just for example, like the studios are telling you, hey, can you make the actors a little closer together in the middle of the frame just so that we can fucking make a TikTok?
No.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's literally what there's this whole thing
that Netflix had a statement about second screens, that they were making sure that the TV shows they were making were things that could be watched while somebody was scrolling online, and that certain lines of dialogue are written to contextualize scenes in a way that was not original to the script. They add in lines of dialogue so the people who are watching it as their second screen are able to keep up with it. Welcome to 2025.
Muted for me. I'm fucking doom scrolling while I'm watching Your Friends and Neighbors, just trying to understand John Hamm's struggles as a rich ex-urban financier. All right. Oh, wait. We have one final topic. We have Gen Z news. Are you ready? Up next, Gen Z news. Here we go, Mooch. This one caught our eye here. It's from Newsweek. And the story is Gen Z is signing up for Adulting 101 class. While the term adulting may be associated with their millennial predecessors, sorry for that, classes on how to adult have popped up at multiple universities in the U.S., aiming to teach Gen Z key life skills for adulthood. That doesn't seem great.
I'm curious what they're teaching them. So they're basically teaching them how to be an adult, essentially?
Let's see here. What to know. Michigan State University, California at Riverside. The classes are equipping people with essential life skills. They include workshops like international travel on a budget, mastering meal planning, navigating life, addressing and handling peer pressure, professionalism, communicate, dress, and deliver with confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like our parents think that like we have it easy, you know what I mean, as well. I feel like that kind of plays into it. Like my mom used to fucking, she would tell me a story like where she would use a map in the fucking car, like literally a physical map.
Yeah,
like
a map. I use maps, bro.
Yeah, exactly. And like, nowadays we got the phone, of course, and we live in the only time period where I could literally be like, oh shit, like I kind of want like a protein smoothie and just fucking click a couple buttons next.
You can buy a protein smoothie on credit.
Dude brings
now.
It. Yeah, but I don't know. Playing into that, I just feel like. Like for example, like a 30-year-old in the 1980s was like balding and like I was like an adult. Now like a 30-year-old today is like got perfect skincare and like fucking still thinks they're a kid.
Thank you. Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday. George Costanza looked the same in the first season of Seinfeld in the year 1989 as he does today. Like he looked 28, he looked 50, and now he must be 70 and he looks 50.
That my hot take. Comment down below, by the way. Comment below how you feel about adulting class, and if you think maybe I want to take one.
I want to see what's up.
I'm pro.
You guys adulting. Need adulting.
I'm pro adulting class. Totally. I mean, you know, this sort of brings to mind how often Gen Z gets shit for stuff, and nobody looks at our parents and says, "Why didn't you prepare them for that?" You know, there's a lot of shit Gen Z gets that we totally deserve. That we if not ask, beg for. But also it's like, you know, what were our parents doing? You know, my parents taught me a lot of extremely valuable things, a lot of things that many people's parents don't teach them. I think my parents gave me a leg up in a lot of ways. And then there's some stuff that I don't know where I'm like, hey, by the way, could you guys have told me about that? Like, could you guys have told me about personal finance and credit and how to build credit? And, you know, there's some things in adulting class that are not necessarily a parent thing, like job interviews and everything like that. But we need the help. Like, we should be learning professionalism. We should be learning professionalism in the workplace. We don't know how to be professional in the workplace.
I think like, adulting class is living life. Like, I was on the Grown Up podcast yesterday. I had a guy that did a profile of J.D. Vance. And he was talking about how one of J.D.'s radicalizing experiences was when he went to Yale. He didn't know what seltzer was, and he didn't know how to use fine china, and it was embarrassing to him because he was a poor white from Ohio, and he didn't know these things. And I'm just like, you fucking pussy. I'm like, that's everybody. That happens to all of us. Like, you don't learn everything when you're a child. You go out into the world, and then sometimes you meet somebody who is fucking like Mooch Jr., who grew up in Long Island, who is more worldly than you, and like he knows about shit that you don't know about, and then you learn. Like, it's not, this is not that, you don't need a fucking class. You just like look to other, you know, you just learn.
You just have to have the student mindset in life.
Yeah.
That's all. I also think
don't be J.D. Vance.
Yeah, don't be J.D. Vance. That Ron Howard movie, whatever the fuck it's called. Have you ever seen that they did about him?
Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah. Also, I think that like, my generation, I was born in 1999. Like we were kind of like the guinea pigs of social media, you know, like Instagram like came out when I was like in seventh grade or like sixth grade and Snapchat and whatever. And I remember getting like a phone when I was like 14 for the first time and getting all the new apps and shit. And we definitely were a part of that, but I feel like it was not as unlimited as it is today for sure. And then I have a little brothers, right? Some half siblings, and one of them is 12 now. And for example, he knows every single freaking meme there ever is ever. He scrolls on his phone more than anyone I've ever seen in my life. I love him to death. He's a really smart kid, but he's like learning everything from the internet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the internet is teaching him like everything. And when the Hawk Tuh girl, whatever the fuck was coming out, I didn't even know what the fuck that was. I go to a baseball game, my little brother, and he's like, Hawk Tuh, Hawk Tuh, Hawk Tuh. And he's like 11 at the time. And I was just like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, you don't know about that? Like, spit on that thing, like, blah, blah, blah. And he like shows it to me. And I'm like, you shouldn't know this. And like,
does he know what she's spitting on?
Oh yeah. He knows everything. He knows everything. He's like smarter than he should be for his age. You know what I mean? He knows, and he's making like Diddy jokes. And he's like 12 years old. He's making like a Diddy joke. And I'm like, yo, what about
tell your dad to take this kid's phone away. What is happening? Okay.
No, they do. They restrict him.
He needs to go out to a cleanse somewhere.
The thing is that it's not even like him. It's like I hang out with his friends and they're even worse. Like, you know, you hang out with the 12-year-old, his group, like I'll play whenever I'm at with my little brother, I'm like, all right, like, what are we doing? You know, I'm just hanging out with him, like playing basketball, whatever the fuck. And all of his friends, like my dad will be around and it's like a filter's on. You know what I mean? It's like, they're still so a little crazy, but they're not that crazy. My dad walks away. Then the Diddy jokes start coming out or so whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's pretty much exactly how it works with Infinity Gang around Scaramucci too.
That is baller.
But we are, I mean, like, fucked, he's definitely getting like as restricted as he possibly can, but like it's you can't. You know what I mean? Like once they have the phone, once they have the internet, yeah, it's, and then with the fucking Fortnite and the video, I mean, for me, I used to play like Call of Duty as a kid and video games as a kid. I'd log on Call of Duty and people would yell the fucking N-word at me and stuff, and it was just like, whoa, like what's going on? And then you go watch South Park, you watch Family Guy. It definitely, like, you know, matures you pretty quick. It gets you in that adult whatever craziness. And they're just experiencing it in at a higher level. You know what I mean? It's in their pocket. You know, it's
we so didn't, you know, not to like, age like, us, not to talk about how ancient me and Mooch are, 1999, 2000. But we didn't really have an Andrew Tate, I don't think. Yeah. I guess our Andrew Tate is Andrew Tate because guys my age like Andrew Tate. But I mean, you know, there are like 12-year-old boys who are stanning Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate, I watched like the Vice News on him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that shit, but he literally, yeah, like you said, there's like armies of 12-year-olds that get paid or have a chance to get paid by clipping him, right? And if they're clips, people click on the link and they sign up for the Andrew Tate bullshit. They get like 5% or whatever. So these little 12-year-olds are clip farming. They just fucking.
Yeah. I knew we were fucked when I saw a video of Sneeko at like a baseball game or something and all these 12-year-olds were swarming him. And I was just like, we are so fucked.
Yeah. No, little kids are. And the thing is about little kids is that, like, I don't know. I think like everyone wants to go viral. You know what I mean? Like, and like going viral nowadays is like kind of nonchalant. You know what I mean? Like if you made a YouTube video in like 2012 that got like a million views, it was like, holy shit, like a fucking big video. Nowadays you get a million views on a fucking Instagram reel. It's like pretty common almost, or it's like whatever. But these kids want that so bad. You know, and like they, like even my little brother, they're like trying to come up with an idea. They're trying to make like a little funny video or something, like, oh, and then we'll pass it to him and they'll dunk it and that. Cause they were trying to go viral. And that's like a disease. You know what I mean? It's like fucking, it's pointless in a weird way.
We should have your little brother on the show next. All right. He's going to be the next guest. We'll have two Mooches, two generations of Mooches. Give your dad a squeeze for me. I got to run. I got a live show tonight in Nashville. I got to roll, boys.
Let's go. Congrats.
Everybody, thanks so much for watching. Mooch Man, let me know if I'm coming over later because I'm available probably after like 8:30.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.